Abraham considered his own body, which was as good as dead. Paul wrote that about Abraham, but I wonder, could he also be writing about you? You new MDiv and Deaconess students, you killed yourself just to get here to Fort Wayne and moved in, barely in time for school to start. Or you took summer Greek and lost the whole summer. Killed yourself doing it too. Or you second year students, everything you planned for the summer, gone. Returning vicars, it's great moving, isn't it? And then contemplating another move in a mere 9 months. Classes start. He considered his own body as good as dead. We're all feeling a little like Abraham these days, perhaps, overwhelmed, frustrated, ready to give up, worn out. It's a good week. Good thing the second week of classes hasn't started yet. So, where do we turn? How about the TV? The preachers there will tell you very simply, have more faith. Guess what text they use to make their simple point? Romans chapter 4, have more faith. Come on, have more faith. What's your problem? Don't you love Jesus? Don't you trust Jesus? If you had more faith, things would be better for you. You'd have more energy, your studies would go better, your family life would improve, and dorm life would be bearable. If you just had faith like Abraham. Come on, what is your problem? Have more faith. And then turning to other biblical texts, take Matthew 17 as an example. The disciples, as usual, are failing. Jesus bursts out, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." Jesus rebuked him, the demon came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." See, if you had more faith, you could really get things done, like moving a mountain. Now that takes some serious faith. In fact, I'm thinking we should make this a requirement in the theological interview and certification process. You want to be a pastor or a deaconess? Do you want to serve in the church? Then move a mountain and you pass. Very simple. Thank goodness there aren't any mountains in Indiana. Which is all to say that castigating people about their lack of faith can in fact destroy the very faith that they have. Why? You point them to the wrong thing. You point the person to the faith itself rather than the object of that faith. This is why people think that the statement "God helps those who help themselves" is actually in the Bible. You might as well say, have faith in your faith. The fact is, though, that God does the miraculous, moves mountains more than mere mountains. He resurrects the dead. He creates faith where there was unbelief. He takes a lifeless body and makes it alive. He takes the barren and makes it fruitful. Listen to Mark chapter 9. "And Jesus said to him, 'All things are possible for one who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe, help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This is what Christ does. He casts out evil, opens our ears, looses our tongue, and takes us by the hand and lifts us up. What did the boy do here? Nothing. He couldn't. The boy was like a corpse. It seems to me that that describes us pretty well. That is, until Christ raises us up. And the Father, what did he do? I believe, help my unbelief. That is our cry as God's people. Focusing on the promises of God and his faithfulness, even as we acknowledge our own weaknesses. Abraham did not waver in his focus on the promise, though perhaps he did stumble in his understanding of the application of them. Nevertheless, he always focused on the promises of God. For, had he looked at himself, he would see nothing. A dead body, a wife who was barren, basic realities that he could not change. So he did not look at himself, but focused on the words and promises of God. I, says the Lord, will make you a great nation, not you will make yourself a great nation. And as the text puts it, Abraham grew strong as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. God does what he promises. He does it for us. For we are as good as dead and barren. But Christ died, suffered all things for all the ungodly, that he might raise us up once again, give us the gift of new life. He has raised us up from death to life, that we might have salvation, have life in its fullness. For he has been delivered up for our trespasses, raised for our justification. As his people, marked with his cross, given his name, washed in the water and the word, we have all of his life-giving benefits. And living in his presence, having been raised up, we do glorify him. His word of promise now falls on ears that hear. We use the tongues he has loosed to confess his holy name, to receive his very body and blood, and to speak that word of peace he has taught us. That word of peace follows our text immediately. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.